Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we're going to start, and Matthew 6, we're going to get there in just a minute. Have you ever read Ecclesiastes? That gets my tongue tangled up, David. Ecclesiastes, I went down to Mom's and had supper the other night, and her Bible was laid there open on the dining room table, and I picked it up and started reading where she was reading, and that's where it was. Hadn't been able to get it off my mind since. All week I've been thinking about that. Guess where it was at? Yeah, Ecclesiastes. Now, written by King Solomon, the wisest man ever. He was asked by God what he wanted, and he chose wisdom over riches or fame or fortune or glory. Because of the wise choice that he made asking God for wisdom, he was granted all these other things. So Ecclesiastes 2 and 9 says, "So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me." Now wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. You're going to have all the knowledge in the world. If you don't know how to apply it, it benefits you very little. So that's what wisdom is. Now if you've ever set in to read Ecclesiastes, you will need a little bit of time to decipher it, okay? Oh, by the way, decipher means to figure it out. And now, I don't know how to spell that. It's kind of like Jethro's Gazintas, you know, 2 goes into 4 2 times. When I typed that word in my iPad, it told me to learn spelling. So you get the point, though. It takes a little bit of time to figure it out. Now, I also realize that sometimes it seems like I might preach a lot about what's going on in our country, in our nation, in our world. But, folks, that's very relevant to us in our day and the battle that we are fighting against Satan and his cohorts and also our sin nature. Now, pay attention to your surrounding. You know, I think about this in many other ways. You see people walking across parking lots with earbuds in, and if you're not careful, they'll walk right out in front of a car or anything else. That's kind of the way that the world is going right now. People are so focused on things that they're not taking into account stuff that's going on around them. So I admonish you to pay attention to what's going on because it affects you. In many different ways. Now, pay attention to your surroundings. We're in a battle trying to get the truth of God's word out to a world that really don't want to hear it. And so it takes dedication and time and effort, and I appreciate everything that y'all do. Now, this world that we live in, this nation that we live in, but all over the world, we have people who will do anything to achieve power, fame, and fortune. Would you agree with that? Not just in our nation, but all over the world. We have many rich people scattered throughout other nations that are trying to influence everything that we do. Mega wealthy people who have never really worked for anything in their life or built anything or done anything really important. They're telling us how we should act. We know who is, we're supposed to listen to about how we should act, and it's not people, it's God. All right? No real knowledge of what God wants from us, but they still want to tell us what we should do. Now, I'll try not to get too high up on a soapbox here, but you know, we got athletes who are making outrageous amounts of money to play a game. But you know what else? We've got people who pay outrageous amounts of money to be able to sit there and watch them get overpaid and play a game. Actors and actresses who are without morals, being looked up to as role models to our children and many adults, some of whom are currently involved in a scandal, accused of paying outrageous amounts of money to have their children's grades changed so that they can qualify for these prestigious schools. Some of them were reclassified as athletes when they never even played the sport. Why? Have you ever just stopped and wondered why we see this going on so much? I think evidently they must think that this college and this piece of paper makes them better than everybody else. Nothing wrong with college, don't get me wrong. And many employers do look at the piece of paper more than the person. I'll grant you that. But it still comes down to what Solomon said. Ecclesiastes 1. Start reading in verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Now, vanity is inflated pride in oneself or one's appearance. Now we all want to look good, right? But we should only go so far with that, all right? So vanity, we don't want to be vain. Vanity. Inflated pride in oneself or one's appearance. Now, here's what Solomon said in verse 3. What profit had the man of all his labor which he had taken under the sun? I want you to think about this as we go down through here. So we have all these vanities and all these things that people are working for and want to be looked up to. And really what Solomon is saying here is that what profit does that do you to have all of these things? Well, some would say, well, it lets me be able to have all the nicer stuff. But what profit is that? I mean, really, what profit is that? Well, I can drive a nice car. Okay. Shania Twain sings a song I like, and it said, part of the line is, it said, okay, that don't impress me much, so you got a car, right? I mean, who don't have one? We went to town last night, and there was a nice Maserati sitting there. I bet probably somebody paid $200,000 for it. I bet it didn't go up and down the road any better than our little $20,000 flivver. Well, it might have, but not that much. Okay, so what does that gain you, Ron? Gets me from point A to point B so far. What does that gain you? Really, I mean, because this life is more than just what we get out of it here on this earth. So we can spend our whole life accumulating things. I was afraid Jeff was going to get on part of my sermon, but we didn't get that far this morning. What profit had the man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in life, okay? If you don't do good, if you don't seek God, you can have all the money in the world. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it doesn't profit you anything. You're not taking it with you when you go. Yeah. We'll get to that in just a little bit. God grants us the ability to share our good fortune with others. Nothing wrong with having stuff. It's what you do with it and what it does to you that matters. And God may grant us the ability to teach, and we have many good teachers here. But if you're one of those gifted people that God has granted that ability, then teach. God has granted some people the privilege to preach. If God's calling you to preach, friend, surrender that calling and preach. Maybe you say, well, I can't teach and I can't preach, but maybe God's leading you to lead a study group. Lead. You see, these are the important things that we do, is to spread the gospel, not to amass wealth and fame. In verse 4 of Ecclesiastes 1 says, one generation passes away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Okay, so life is but a vapor. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. If you live 100 years here on this earth, and some do, that is not even one little drop in the ocean compared to eternity. So where's our focus? We're here today and gone tomorrow, but this earth continues. Now, Solomon said it abideth forever, and I believe it does. I could go off and chase a rabbit here. I'll try not to, though. It says, because this earth, if you read the scriptures, is going to have to be cleansed because it also is under the bonds of sin. But this earth is going to last forever. You know why? Because God created it, and he's still not finished with it. We'll get into that at another day. All right. This body that we have here, the sinful body, has to be changed. So, Gene was talking about the lady kissing the bald-headed guys on the head. I'm pretty much bald-headed. I would have probably passed. But I know that there's a lot of people that spend a lot of money on their hair that want to get plugs and implant stuff. If you want to do that, I don't care. Eddie Joe, so God made some perfect heads, and the rest of them covered up with hair. So some people wear wigs. That's okay. I don't care. But let's not neglect to focus on the important stuff. It's not what this old body looks like. It's not the expensive clothes that we wear. It's what's inside that God sees. It's inside that what's matter. This body, this old sinful body, has to be changed. I thank God Jesus is coming back, and we're going to get a new body that don't hurt and ache and pain. We don't have to worry about cancer and all that stuff for eternity. That's never ending. Day after day, we go through this life, year after year. This old world is here, century after century, millennial after millennial. This earth outlives us all, and when we die, we cannot take anything that we have earned and put back in the bank with us except what we send forward. Verse 5 says, the sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down and hasteneth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about into the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to its circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yea, the sea is not full yet. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Men cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Now, these allergies are bothering me. I apologize. All right, build big buildings. Okay, have you ever been down Hot Springs, down Bathhouse Row, and down through there? There's a lot of history there. There's a lot of old buildings. And, I've been in on some of them, down in them and whatnot, and the basements and the tunnels and all that stuff that are in those things. And, you know, the big tunnel that goes right down under the street and all that stuff. Who built all that? Does anybody here know? It's pretty amazing, isn't it? All the buildings and all the bricks, and think about all the labor, and they've lasted for 100 years or more. Who built them? Nobody knows. Well, somebody does, but you see, the point is we can build these great, big, majestic buildings, and when we're gone, maybe someone in the next generation might remember who we were that built them, but after that, it all fades away. And so we do these things to make people look at us and say, oh, well, there's old Sam. He built that building. Well, nobody even knows who Sam is 50 years from now. Have you ever been back to school? You know, I was a decent athlete whenever we were in high school, and most people knew who I was 5 years after I graduated. None of those people knew who I was. It's kind of sobering when you think about it. But isn't that the truth? Okay? We live wanting to be recognized, and that's really not the purpose that we're here. We're not put here on this earth for people to recognize us. We are put here on this earth so that we might recognize God. And through our recognition and our praise and worship of God, that others might see that there is a reality in serving a true and living God. We work hard. I work hard. Y'all work hard so that we can have stuff. If we're not careful, our stuff winds up having us. And we don't take it with us. Matthew chapter 6. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll see that Jesus is speaking here. We're going to start in verse 19. Jesus has given us some good advice here, so please pay attention. 6 and 19, Matthew. Lay not. Don't do it. Up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. What are we working for here? Listen to me, friend. This life is nothing but preparation for eternity. What we send forward, we'll get to enjoy. What we amass here in this life, someone else will get to enjoy. We're trying real hard to spend our kids' inheritance, and it's not really hard to do because there's not much of it, but you understand what I'm saying. You may have tons of money, but guess who gets to enjoy it? Your kids and their kids. If you don't pay anything forward in heaven, when you take your last breath here on this earth, it's gone. Jesus said, lay not up for yourself treasures here on this earth. Nothing wrong with having money, but the problem is a lot of times the money has us. I knew a man one time that he's gone now. I knew him pretty well. Had more money than probably we could all spend in a lifetime. Couldn't wait to get another dollar. His focus was in the wrong place. Nothing wrong with having the money, but the focus was in the wrong place. Because our focus should be in serving God and furthering His kingdom. It's all about Jesus. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. How do I lay those treasures up, preacher? Well, be a faithful church attender. Tell people what Jesus has done for you. Witness to people. Well, I'm kind of bashful. Just tell them what He's done for you. Let me tell you what He's done for me. He saved my soul. And He's kept it saved for all these years, and I don't deserve it. I can remember exactly what it was like. I was only about 8 years old, and that's been a long time ago. But I woke up one morning with the realization that if I died, I was going to hell. And it was such a vivid picture. And I thank God for a godly mom and dad that took me to church and taught me. It was such a vivid picture that I didn't sleep for 3 or 4 nights after that. I'd sit up in the bed and I'd pinch myself because I was so afraid that if I went to sleep, I'd die and I'd go to hell. But whenever I asked Jesus to save me, I have no fear of death anymore. Because what He does perfectly and completely. Paying them treasures forward, I'm going to get to spend eternity with Jesus. don't worry about, you know, it doesn't matter if you don't have a Maserati. It's all right to drive the Ford Focus. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. It's all about the spiritual things in life. And verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters." Now, we have a lot of fence straddlers nowadays, and Jessica vernacular, that's somebody that wants to be on both sides and can't, so they, I always think of a barbed wire fence. That's kind of a bad place to be in the middle, isn't it? But we have a lot of that in our world today, people that want both sides. Okay, so I want to come to church on Sunday morning, but I want to go Monday morning and be just like the rest of the world. Listen, friend, you cannot serve two masters. Here's what Jesus said. "For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," which means this earth, the devil, the things of this world. Light, dark, God, Satan. Jesus, forgiveness. No Jesus, eternal hell, damnation. Okay? The only thing that we can take with us when we leave this earth is our salvation and the good deeds that we've done for Jesus. God said he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I don't know about you, but diligently means you got to put a little work into it. And when you do, God will reward you with things that this world can't take away. I think about all the stuff that's going on in our country and in our world today. And people with a lot of money are trying to tell us how we should live and what we should do. And that it's okay to do abortion, it's okay to do this, and it's okay to do that. And I admonish you to listen to what God says and govern your life accordingly. Because just because they have money, power, influence, doesn't change the fact that God's still in control. One of these days, Jesus is coming back. Maybe soon, but when he comes back, he's going to come in the air, and the old trump's going to sound. Those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are going to be caught up with those that went on before, and we're going to get a glorified body, one that never has to die again. These old aches and pains and these old illnesses that we have in this life will be gone forever. Don't kid yourself, though, friend. If you're not in that group, you got some hard times coming up. Tribulation like this world has never seen. And then Jesus is going to come up, set his feet here on this earth and rule this earth with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. Which group do you want to be in? Well, I'm a born-again believer, preacher, okay? Praise God. And now what are you doing for your future in heaven? Maybe God's calling you to something. Won't you answer the call? Lay up for yourself some treasures. Fame, fortune, and prestige, and power, and all these things that people are hungry for today, they pass away. They're only one heartbeat away from being someone else's. But what we do for God is sent forward for eternity. You know, it's good to have ambition. It really is. But we don't need to let our ambition have us. There's nothing wrong with having money, but let's don't let our money have us. There's nothing wrong with being a leader, but don't let it lead us, because our only leader should be God Almighty. And when we follow Him and we focus on Him, then we don't have this conflict of what am I going to do today? You know, we taught our kids growing up that you make up your mind, before you're confronted with a situation. I'll just give you this example. We told them all growing up through school that you need to know the answer if someone offers you drugs. And you don't need to make that decision in the heat of the moment. You need to already have that in your mind. Premarital sex is the same way. These things, we teach our kids not to do them. We teach them that you should know what you're going to say before you're confronted with the situation. Friend, the only way you can do that is make God's Word a part of your life. Listen to what the Word says. You can't defeat Satan without it. Only Jesus can do that. Where are your treasures at? I see a great group of people here this morning. God bless you. Tomorrow when you go to work, take Jesus with you. Share Him with a lost and dying world. Invite someone to church so that we can tell them what Jesus did for us there on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for me. Oh, and He shared it with you as well. What have we done for Jesus lately? I challenge each and every one of you to bring somebody with you next week to church. One person. How many you got to invite or drag here to get one? I don't know. Sometimes 15 or 20. Well, golly, preacher, that's a bunch. It is. It's doable. I've invited 15 people one week and never one of them showed up. I invited 20 the next week. One of them showed up. What are we going to do for Jesus? Well, it's too hard. No, it's not. We're laying up treasures. We go to work Monday morning to put money in our bank account. Let's go to work for Jesus and lay up some treasures that's going to last for eternity. And let's fill this church building up, and I'd like to knock it down and build a new one. We can do it because Jesus is in control. Look at what He's doing right now. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. We can knock this wall out and go further that way, couldn't we? Have to move the baptistry, so what? Pardon? There you go. We can move Jeff's road. He don't care. Lay up precept. Where's our focus? Where's our focus? Bring somebody with you next week. Let's tell them about Jesus. Invite them to Sunday school class. We may have to move out here. That's great. All right. Gene, would you come? We'll stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you at this time, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the writings of Solomon through the inspiration of the Spirit so that we can understand that vanities were not really worth anything. But that in Matthew we're told, Lord, that when we do good for you here on this earth, it's put in a vault in safekeeping in your house for eternity. I thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross. I thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's here today. Those that are traveling and couldn't be here or sick, I pray for them to take them back with us. Lord, I pray now very humbly that you just have your will in each and every life that's here. Whatever your desire for our life, that's what we pray for. Maybe it's church membership. Maybe someone you're calling someone to preach or to do some other service, Lord. I pray that the Spirit would impart that calling and that they would submit to your will. I pray, Lord, that you would help me in my studies and in my preaching, that I would be better, that I might glorify God, that we might see lost souls saved before it's eternally too late. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 188.